You're listening to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now here's Frank and Martin on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Seven 30 here on the Press Box, 590 The Fan, one of our great sponsors, the Home Loan Expert. It's real simple, thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan Kelly is with us. Ryan, what are you up to?
Well, Martin, as always, we're just working hard. We're working on loans right now. And I'll tell you, applications are coming in the month of December like we have never seen in our company's history. People are trying to refinance. People are trying to get pre-approved for home purchases at a rate, like I said, we haven't seen. And it makes sense. Mortgage interest rates are still at the hovering around that all-time low level, you know, the level that we'd seen about 2 years ago. They're right there. They're within an eighth or two. So rates are super low. And what's really great is home values continue to rise. So home values are up, rates are low. As a homeowner with a mortgage, you have a lot of options. Refinance, maybe you get from a 30-year down to a 15-year, and you keep your payment the same. We're doing a ton of that. Maybe you need to cash out $10,000, $20,000. Cash out refinance is just as easy as your normal refinance, but we don't stop there. We get you the money you need to pay off the credit cards or, heck, just put the money in the bank. Another very popular loan, this will be my last one, is getting rid of the PMI. A lot of people have PMI. I look at the records of how many loans we've done over the years and how many have PMI, and it's about 30%. So a lot of people on those mortgage statements, if you look at it, you're paying $100, $200, $300 a month of useless PMI. You don't need it anymore. You have equity in your house. You're below 80%. You have PMI. You're looking to get some cash out or looking at a certain length of your loan, call us. We're in the office right now. We're working up options. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. 314-781-9700. That's 781-9700. You can always apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Boys, thank you for letting me jump on. I don't know if you've seen it, but we're doing our 12 days of Christmas. We're giving away really cool prizes. No purchase necessary. Just go to the Home Loan Expert Ryan Kelly Facebook page. At 2 o'clock today, I'll give you a little secret. We're giving out Cubs cards tickets, and you can pick the city. You want to see them at Wrigley or Busch, your choice. You're the first one to answer a question right, and you win the tickets. Yesterday, we gave away tickets to the Indy 500, today's Cards Cubs in Chicago or St. Louis. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert, always doing some fun things for people in the community. 12 Days of Christmas, that's the Facebook page, homeloanexpert.com, or 781-9700.
I saw this yesterday. What he just mentioned on his Facebook page, 12 Days of Christmas, giving away all kinds of prizes. And yesterday, he gave away the tickets to the 2018 Indy 500, and he put a question out there where he showed a picture of a parking garage. And he said, guess how many cars are parked in this parking garage? The closest to the actual number gets the tickets. And then a bunch of people responded with different guesses, you know, 1,100, 1,700, whatever it was, and he gives away the tickets. That easy.
A lot of energy, that guy.
Always.
A lot of energy. The Home Loan Expert, part of the great sponsorship, and the Press Box, as always, brought to you by Hollywood Casino. Again, they're part of our listener rewards, so if you go to InsideSTL.com, get some great savings there. We also have the Edge listener line and the First Tee text line. And right now, joining us here on the program, Jeff Rainford, who is currently a Blues spokesman. Prior to that, of course, chief of staff for Mayor Slay many years. He's a political raconteur, consulting expert. I don't know what else I can add to it, but he's here in a Blues capacity. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, Martin. Good morning.
It sounds like the battle over semantics did end this week because the judge said that Darlene Green, the comptroller, must sign that document. And she did sign the document, but didn't hand it over right away. It just seemed a little bit silly to me. Are we resolved at least with that issue?
Yeah, you know, she's talking about filing an appeal, and hopefully it won't come to that. But she did what, the purpose of the lawsuit was to compel her to do what the charter requires her to do, which is after the Board of Aldermen, the Board of ENA, and the mayor signs into law the financing agreement with the Scott Trade Center that she was compelled under the charter to sign it. So the judge ordered her to sign it, and she has now signed it and complied with the court order. So as far as we're concerned, that matter is resolved. Now, I don't know if she thinks that it's resolved. That'll be up to her. But as far as we're concerned, we filed the lawsuit to compel her to sign the document. She signed it. And, you know, as far as we are concerned, we got one more step to go, and that is the lawsuit filed by Kara Spencer, which is scheduled to go to trial with the very same judge, I'll make note of, but scheduled to go to trial next week.
And Kara Spencer, of course, older person in the city of St. Louis, did she vote against the measure? Because this goes back to February when this was passed, this agreement to upgrade the Scott Trade Center. Did she vote against it then?
Yeah, she did vote against it. And as I've said a couple of times, you know, this lawsuit is a waste of everybody's time with one exception, and that is, you know, it's going to give the Kiel Center partners the opportunity to vindicate themselves. Kara, her lawyers, and some of the other plaintiffs have said many things that about the Blues ownership, and how this deal came together that are false and malicious. And so the lawsuit, while it's a waste of everybody's time, is a chance for the Blues to clear their good names. And just like the lawsuit with the comptroller, demonstrate again that they did this the right way. They did it with integrity. They did it with honesty. The finance agreement identifies $143 million in city revenue to cover $105 million in costs. And it will upgrade and preserve a building that's important to all of us. Even if you don't go there, it's important. There's 2,200 people who owe their jobs directly and indirectly to the Scott Trade Center. It brings national events to St. Louis. It brings people to our hotels and restaurants. It generates tax revenues. So this deal was done in the right way for the right reasons. And, you know, I certainly think that the result in the first lawsuit shows that, and we believe that the result of the second lawsuit will show the same thing.
And the St. Louis Business Journal, in fact, their editorial board just put out a editorial yesterday that said overtime effort to stop Blues deal, waste time and waste money. And then we hear things such as Darlene Green, you know, can go to an attorney, but that's at the city's expense. That a lot of these legal expenses, if the fight is over saving money for the city and not wasting money, it seems, if I'm reading correctly, that a lot of the expenses for these lawsuits on the side of people that work at City Hall is actually taxpayers footing the bill.
Well, I'm not going to argue whether or not that's for the taxpayers and others to decide whether that's a good expenditure of money or not. But I will say this. When the Board of Aldermen, after many public hearings and a lot of public debate and a lot of public scrutiny, approved this, as did the Board of Estimate and Apportionment, and the mayor signed it in the law, that's like entering into a contract with somebody. That's like basically saying, you know, I'm going to promise you I'm going to do certain things. And then to be in a situation where that can happen and the city goes back on its word, what kind of a message does that send to other people who are thinking about investing money or doing business in the city? I mean, the city needs to be reliable in what it does. And so whether you think this is which we do, you think that this is a good deal for taxpayers and for the city, or you think it's a bad deal for taxpayers in the city, once it's decided, it needs to be decided, or the city's going to have a really hard time attracting investment and taxpaying businesses and people to the city, because they aren't going to be able to trust the city's word. So there are even people who don't necessarily love this deal who are like, this needs to go forward for the sake of the city's credibility, especially as it pertains to future economic development.
What is the lawsuit that Kara Spencer is a part of? What is it that is it get real drilled down in terms of how the money is used or whether there's a tax on the ticket? I mean, explain to me what's next here.
Well, at the core issue, not the only issue, but at the core issue, is they are alleging that this violates the Missouri Constitution, because the Missouri Constitution prohibits public resources being used for private purposes. And it's interesting because this very judge, ruled on this very point in a lawsuit that was brought involving a downtown St. Louis law firm. And about 2 months ago, the Missouri Court of Appeals upheld Judge Moriarty on this point, which is, if there's a public benefit, then it does not violate the Missouri Constitution. And interestingly, one of the plaintiffs, Jeanette Mott Oxford, brought up this very same point when the Cardinal Ballpark was built and filed the same lawsuit over the same issue and lost then. So this is a settled matter of law, which is, if there's a public benefit, then it doesn't violate the Constitution. And we think that there's a public benefit here in droves.
Yeah, when we talk about the Scott Trade Center, it really, the way I always view it, it's the city's arena. So whether you live in Indianapolis, Nashville, Louisville, you want some type of arena in your downtown area that can attract events. So it's not just about hockey, but for the first 20-plus years, either the repairs were ignored or the Blues, to my understanding, just kind of paid for things along the way until this point where they said, hey, we need some major upgrades, and it's not not necessarily ours to pay for. Is that an accurate depiction?
Yeah, I mean, in essence, I mean, first, the plaintiff said that the city of St. Louis did not own the Sky Trade Center, and you know, the judge has already ruled that, yes, the city of St. Louis, or I don't know if she ruled, but she wrote that the city of St. Louis owns the Sky Trade Center. So that's one aspect that this is a civic building, but more importantly, only 40% of the events at the Sky Trade Center are hockey. 60% are events that are, you know, that are NCAA events, basketball, wrestling, ice hockey. We have hosted the National Figure Skating Championships there. There are national concert tours that would skip our city if not for the Sky Trade Center. And that's the event side. Then you have the job side, where, as I said, 2,200 people owe their livelihoods to the Sky Trade Center. And by the way, many of those people also worked Rams games, and the loss of the Rams has already hurt their income. You know, having this building deteriorate and potentially have the Blues in jeopardy, you know, does affect the people who work at the Sky Trade Center, work in the hotels, and work in the restaurants. So there. And then lastly, again, is the economics. And I won't go through it all because it gets, you know, it's like trying to explain a spreadsheet on the radio. But in essence, we've identified $143 million in revenue to cover $105 million in payments. So there's more than enough revenue to pay for this without having to jeopardize city services or the city's credit rating.
So as somebody who worked in City Hall, understands kind of the political dynamics here, what do you think this is all about? Why do you think there's so much pushback here? Because the Blues, I mean, I think the books have shown for years they lost money, and even if they're starting to make some money, that's okay. That they're still spending plenty and generating plenty of revenue. That's not a terrible thing if all of a sudden they actually made a little bit of money. What do you think the pushback here is all about? Why is the climate so hostile right now?
Well, let's not get too carried away, because remember, you have the comptroller and you have one alderman. There's 29 aldermen, so it's one out of 29. And the comptroller is one of three people at the Board of Estimate and Apportionment. So I don't think we should get carried away that this is a movement. It's two people have chosen to do this. And I certainly believe in the comptroller's case that she is doing what she thinks is right for the city. And it really is her job. It is the mayor's job to promote economic development, to promote dynamism in our economy, to bring jobs in, to generate revenue. And that sort of thing. It's the Board of Aldermen's job to set policy. There's no doubt about it. But under the charter, it is the comptroller's job to kind of be Dr. No, to try to keep, you know, put the brakes on the others. And that's the role that Darlene Green has been given. And it's the role that I think she rightly has taken. We obviously disagreed with her legally on the extent of the authority that she has. And the judge ruled in our favor on that matter. But I mean, I have respect for what she's trying to do. As far as Kara Spencer, I'm not going to ascribe any motivation, any negative motivations. I don't know what's in her mind or in her heart. She has said things about us that are untrue, and you know, we look forward to having our day in court to be able to, you know, demonstrate that, again, that we did this deal in the right way. We were honest and above board. That we think that this is a sound financial deal for the city government itself, but more importantly, that it's good for the city and good for the region to have this building be viable and bringing these national events to St. Louis, and the jobs and the excitement and the people and the tax dollars that come along with them.
And for those who recall, you know, you saw the new Jumbotron go in, some of the upgrades, the locker rooms, et cetera, down low. What's next? So it's a 3-year phase, correct?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of it is stuff that you're not going to see. So it's behind, you know, the heating and the cooling and the ice making machine and the locker rooms and things that the public wouldn't see. But there are things that I think, you know, as a sports guy, that this is the bringing these national events to St. Louis, whether it's NCAA basketball, the Southeastern Conference Championship, keeping the Missouri Valley Conference Championship, you know that there are certain demands that the, you know, because of all of the people, the money and the excitement that these events generate for a city, you know that they're becoming pretty darn picky. And if we want to continue, and we are very competitive, they love bringing these events to St. Louis. We do a great job of holding them, but to continue bringing these events to St. Louis, there are certain demands. I mean, the thing that always comes to mind is when John Calipari, a coach of the University of Kentucky, was here for an NCAA game, and he was down in the locker room and he couldn't get a cell signal and had to like walk into a corner of a shower to be able to call a recruit or call whoever he was. And he complained to the SEC. And, you know, when we were in jeopardy of losing the SEC championship. So it's not unlike what Kitty Radcliffe and the convention center folks are saying, if we want to continue to get these dynamic events and all of the people that come here, if we want to keep getting them on the sports side and we want to keep getting them on the convention side, we're going to have to make investments in our facilities. And so this is the parallel to what the case that the convention center will make on upgrades to the convention center. If we want to keep, you know, True Value bringing their national convention to St. Louis, we're going to have to make upgrades. And if we want the NCAA or the NCC to bring their events to St. Louis, we needed to make upgrades. And we needed to do that for our own good as a community.
It's like I've always said to Frank Viverito, I said, no offense, not really into college wrestling, but I love the fact that it comes here because people are going to restaurants, going to hotels. We need those kind of events. That's really, to me, what this is all about. Jeff Rainford joining us here on 590 The Fan. Jeff, thanks for the time.
Hey, anytime. Love coming on your show, so invite me back.
There he is, the political raconteur, Jeff Rainford. Rainford & Associates is his current place of business, for many years chief of staff for Mayor Slay. Before that, TV, radio, Chuck, he was one of us, media person back in the day. And I think there's this idea, and it just came out with Forbes, that the Blues team value has increased exponentially. Like, the NHL is sort of on an upswing right now, and the Blues are more valuable than they used to be. And it points out they did have a surplus. They had like an operating budget. They did make a little bit of money. And I think there's this, well, then they don't need anything. But this isn't public or corporate welfare, because it is a city-owned arena that you want to have to draw events. I just don't understand that. I mean, IKEA comes to town, and that is a multi-billion-dollar operation, right? IKEA is a multi-billion-dollar, and nobody complained and said, we're going to give them all kinds of breaks, because you want that in your city. You want that revenue stream. You want them employing people, selling items, generating tax dollars. That's what you want in your city. And nobody, I don't remember anybody complaining about IKEA getting all kinds of deals, kinds of breaks, tax breaks. And now you have an arena that the city owns and is going to maintain. That's the request here. And it's like, well, I don't like hockey. We shouldn't fix it, but... we don't care. It's not our problem that the Blues building is old. Well, it is, actually, because you own that building. I don't understand the argument, to me, because unless you want to jump up and down, and unless Kara Spencer was against the IKEA move, I don't understand the pushback. I just don't get it. And Jeff's right. It's not this groundswell. Darlene Green, in her role as comptroller, and I think he pointed it out properly, he respected her position because he's trying to protect the city's credit rating, however, going about it in a way that they disagree on. As far as Kara Spencer, I know she was on The Morning After. I don't have anything against her personally. I don't understand some of the pushback. And again, I have to go back. Maybe she was really vocal against IKEA. But it's the same idea. You do cough up some tax dollars to create either a revenue stream and bring it to town like IKEA, or to continue a revenue stream like a Scott Trade Center. To me, it's that simple.
I think the pushback, it's unfortunately an easy narrative now, coming off the Rams and Stan Kroenke, and I think some people kind of just put everybody in the same bundle and say, oh, big-time sports, look what happened to us before, put all this money into trying to keep the Rams, the Dome, and all that. Anybody who knows the Blues and Tom Stillman, it's a totally different situation. From the moment that he took over as the main partner and said, look, we're local stewards. That's how we view ourselves. It's not like we're going to make a ton of money. Now, I hope they do make a ton of money, but that's not really usually how it works in the NHL. And you have a lot of smaller business owners combining to create this ownership group with Tom Stillman. But I would also say, even if you don't like hockey, there's not a concert that you like. There's not any sport that you like, whether it be wrestling coming down there, the Harlem Globetrotters coming down there, a basketball tournament coming down there, the circus coming down there, events like that.
If you never go,
yes.
Even if you never set foot in the building, do you want revenue-generating events? Do you want a revenue-generating building downtown? That, to me, and they would say, I would guess, and I shouldn't put words in anyone's mouth, but I would think the opposition would say, well, you guys just pay for it. Okay, so do we own the building then? Is it our? No, the paperwork is very clearly defined that the Blues don't own the building. The city owns the building. You have an arena downtown. You want to be able to maintain it. We're late for a break. We'll do that. Joe Buck's coming up at 12:05. Charlie, one last point. Did you have something pertinent, prescient?
No, we can tease it for the next segment.
Chuck has something great to say. Don't go anywhere.
It's
a Hollywood
awesome
casino. Press Box text line throughout is brought to you by First Tee, great organization, the First Tee of St. Louis, helping kids not only learn the game of golf, but also sort of the protocol that golf brings all of us, the decorum. You learn that along with the game of golf. First Tee text line is 855-282-8255, and the Edge listener line is 855-282-8255. All of our great sponsors here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan.